This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT in Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender identity. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening, this is Jack Lewinsky.
And Jennifer Renee.
And Brian Levinka.
Well, it's that time again. We are asking
what
you to pitch
it.
To pitch in and help this station be a good neighbor. We're asking you for that good neighbor policy. We're asking for your help as your good neighbor. We need a little bit more help because it costs a little bit of money to keep the transmitter on, pay those fees that we have to pay for playing our music. Even though we have reduced fees, we still pay some fees. And keeping the station open, keeping our small staff here, and letting all the wonderful volunteers be able to do wonderful radio programming that's only available on KPFT. You know, this week was the anniversary, the 40th anniversary of the first bombing of KPFT. And the only two bombings of any American radio station was KPFT first time and second time. The first time it knocked the station off for a couple weeks. The second time it knocked it off for a couple months. It was pretty much a given that it was done by the Klan, but after the Statue of Libertations, they never got punished for it. So we have history here. The history here is that people don't like us. There's lots of people that don't like the fact that we have free speech, even though that's the First Amendment of the Constitution, and most of the other radio stations in this city and this country do not really allow people to come in and do radio shows. But we do here at KPFT, so we're asking you to call us. Call us at 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT.
You know, everybody out there, where else in any city, really, but especially here in this part of the country, in Houston, Texas, you can call in and you can or listen to KPFT and the kind of programming we have. For whatever your interest is, no matter whether you agree with it or disagree with it, if you want to get your blood pressure running sky high, all you have to do is listen for a while. I know every once in a while I'll turn on to one of those alternate stations, and about 5 minutes later, I've got to turn over to KPFT and hear some sanity on the radio, and that's where you hear it. I hear you, the public, the supporters of this radio station. It's you that keep this going on. This is a community radio station, and that means you. And the only way we can stay on the air, the only way we can pay the bills, is if you take the time to reach into your pocket and pledge. That's the way it's done. That's how we stay on the air. That's how you support us. So please call 713-526-5738.
And we have a very exciting show tonight, and we want to get into that part of the show. And Jennifer, why don't you tell us what we have coming up?
Well, tonight, our first segment is Professor Steven Kleinberg. He's a full professor out at Rice University and has been appointed, and I'll save that announcement, to a new position within the school. Steven Kleinberg has, Professor Dr. Kleinberg, I should say, has been for the last 27 years, has been doing a statistical study of our city and the county. And he's tracked the trends within our county, tracked the people. He sort of has been able to show us through statistical data and the facts as it is. You can go to their website there, at Rice University, the Institute for Urban Research, and you can see the report. But there's some very interesting things that have come up this year in the survey, which we'll be talking about here in a few minutes.
Right, and then we have a feature that J.D. sent us about a guest coming here to Houston this week. And then in the next hour, we're going to be talking about the HRC dinner.
Yes, we are. We've got Donna Flynn and Lawrence Snowden, both with the HRC Steering Committee. We're going to talk about the gala coming up this Saturday night, and we're going to talk about HRC and the work they're doing.
And but then also we have the features from This Way Out, including News Wrap and some of the other wonderful features they do. So we really want to get to our programming, but we're asking you to call us. Call us now at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. You know, it's unbelievable, but nobody tells us what to do on this show. It's up to us, the programmers here at KPFT of Queer Voices, our collective here. We get together, we try to schedule guests that talk about the different issues in our community. We try to, you know, focus in on local issues, but sometimes there's national issues we cover. We try to talk about the many nonprofit organizations, the many social change organizations, people that are involved in the community, people that have a real passion. And we're lucky to have this format here. We don't have a weekly newspaper here in Houston, a weekly GLBT newspaper. So we try to get the word out as best we can. There are many events that go on. We try to talk about those, what's behind the scenes of those events, how they're done, people that put it together. So it's the real nuts and bolts, the grassroots of the community, and we're asking you to be part of this grassroots community by calling us now. Calling us at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT.
And you know what you won't hear on KPFT is commercials. And the way that we pay for our shows, like we're saying, we need you to call in and pledge your support. By calling in and pledging your support, you're voting for our program and our station, and especially now during Queer Voices, because we are almost a lone source of GLBT information in our city. We have weekly and timely events and issues, and we need you to call and show that you care and you listen to our show, and that you show the station that we are a vital portion of this community. We provide a service. 713-526-KPFT. Make those phones ring. 713.
What converts a KPFT listener into a KPFT contributor? One reason is a sense of social responsibility. Many people who make their first ever gift tell us that they view KPFT as a shared community resource. And if you get some value from it, you should put something back in. Today, we ask that you consider the value you've received from KPFT over the past year, or two, or three. Then please put a little something back in, not only for yourself, but also for your entire community. Many people make their first ever gift a $60 contribution. You can make a difference for less than a dollar a week, and the process takes just 2 minutes. Call 713-526-5738. Call right now, 713-526-KPFT. Thanks for listening to 90.1 FM KPFT.
This is Queer Voices.
And this is Jennifer Renee.
And Brian Lavinka.
And we have here in the studio one of my favorite people, to say the least, Dr. Steven Kleinberg. And he has been doing a study for many years, like I said a little while ago, for over 27 years.
29 years?
Oh, did I read the information wrong? Okay.
Jennifer.
Hey, well.
Wear your glasses.
I know. I did what I did, and I blew up the fonts big enough to read. But the key to it is that you've been able to paint a picture of our community, of the Harris County and Houston, Texas, for a long time and shown the trends. And there have been some incredible trends over this 29-year period. And absolutely, you just finished the latest survey. And tell us a little bit about the technique you're using to glean the information.
Okay, you bet. Well, it's a systematic survey of a representative random sample of Harris County residents, reached by random telephone numbers, a random adult in each random household, asking people with identical questions over the last 29 years, how do you see the world? what is happening in your life, and we have sat back and watched the world change. So just very quickly, Houston went into major recession with a collapse of the oil boom in 1982,
yeah.
Deep recession by 86, 87. One out of every seven jobs that had been in Houston in 1982 had disappeared, the worst regional recession of any part of the country in any time since World War II, and then a recovery into a restructured economy and a demographic revolution.
I was here the whole time. Uh-huh. I know what you're talking about.
Yep.
It was a little scary back then.
And the 21st century is a very different place than we thought it was going to be 15 and 20 years ago.
And part of that is that the city has changed, the demographic has changed. We're, in reading one of the statistics, how has the actual demographic of the city changed? I know that in reading over the report, there's a lot more diversity. Mm-hmm. But I thought was very interesting was the statistic from the community who identifies as non-white as a majority now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the story of Houston is during the oil boom between 1960 and 1982, virtually all the growth was Anglo growth. Anglos pouring into Houston from everywhere else in the country because this is where the jobs were. Literally, after the oil bust of 1982, the Anglo population stopped growing, and all the growth of Houston in the last 25 years has been non-Anglo growth. So, for example, in 1980, Harris County was 63% Anglo, and today it is less than 35% Anglo. So this is a tremendous change in a very short amount of time. I tell people you have to be gentle with Anglos. This is a big change. And it has to do with a broader growing comfort with diversity in general.
And that's interesting because, you know, being in touch like I am, and we're, you know, we sit in front of this microphone each week and we talk about diversity and we are on committees working on diversity in various ways, but we're, our segment is about our community, the gay, lesbian, mm-hmm. bisexual, transgender community. But what was interesting was to see how broad the acceptance of diversity really is in our community.
That's right. With understandably resistance, concern, anxiety, the Tea Party group, or the, you know, I want my country back. I tell people you have to be gentle with Anglos. But what is striking in terms of those questions, we've asked over 29 years a whole bunch of identical questions about gay rights and identical questions about abortion rights. And there's been virtually no change on abortion attitudes. And every single question we've asked about gay rights has shown systematic, continuing, increasing support all through the years of the surveys.
Now, do you contribute that to the society's acceptance of the gay community, or is that just Houston's size and kind of the cosmopolitan feel of Houston as it gets bigger and more diverse?
Great question. It turns out to have very much to do with comfort with diversity in general. The key question that predicts attitudes toward gay rights is a question that said, do you believe that homosexuality is something people choose or something they cannot change?
Oh, wow.
And the percent who say it's something they cannot change, it's not a free lifestyle choice that people have just made on their own, but a part of the natural human variation, has gone from about 35% to 60%. And once you believe that, then it's no longer a question of a moral decision, a moral judgment here. It's a question of, can I deal with a world where not everybody's going to look like me? Not everybody's going to have the same propensities as me? And so it ties in powerfully to the general comfort with diversity in general. And you can see a growing acceptance of this diverse world of the 21st century.
And is this through the whole county or the Houston city limits proper? Or is it across the region?
Our sample is Harris County.
Okay.
So it's both city and suburb. But it's where 76% of everybody in the entire 10-county region live in Harris County. So it's a pretty powerful picture of who we are.
Well, that's a happy gay day in Harris County for
us. So it's not entirely there yet. But one example, in 1991, we first asked the question that said, are you in favor or opposed to allowing homosexuals to legally adopt children? In 1991, 19% only of Harris County residents said, yes, I'm in favor of that. Then it went to 20%, 25%, 30, 29, 42, 46, 57% in our survey completed last February, saying
wow.
We're in favor. So, but still, only 57%, whereas are you in favor or opposed to allowing gays and lesbians to serve openly in the military, went from 50% to 65 to 78% today. So there's more support for gay rights in terms of civil rights, teachers in the schools, serving the military, But that has also increased systematically. And so there's a distinction people make between family issues and civil rights. But in both cases, growing acceptance, growing sense of comfort with a world that is going to have a lot of people different from me.
Yeah. And I know there wasn't a specific question concerning it, but is there any way to extrapolate from the data what the acceptance or the level of acceptance of the trans community is, transgender community, if it's even there?
Yeah, we didn't ask that. We asked about sex change.
Yeah.
And
what came out of that?
As I recall, it was about a 50-50 split in terms of whether they thought that was an okay thing to do.
Well, that's encouraging right there. I'll take 50-50.
Yeah. Now, does your survey have location and kind of geographic indicators of where the community
is? Sure. Yeah, we can.
So are we spreading out as a community? Are we kind of?
Oh, you mean the gay community itself?
Yes.
Yeah, no, we don't have that.
Okay.
No one knows for sure what the percent of the population that's gay, but it's about 4 or 5% maybe.
Okay.
That's still a very small number.
Yeah, I've always heard 10% growing up. You know.
Yeah, I think that's high. When we ask people, does anyone in your household identify as gay or lesbian? About 3.5% said yes. And I don't think it's ever gotten higher than that. So the result is we can't do it. I can't tell you about the gay community,
right?
But I can tell you about gay attitudes.
Well, there's really not a baseline study to actually determine, and it's only been in the recent past that gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender individuals have stepped out of the shadows and said, "This is who I am," and are willing to put it down on a piece of paper, because there's still that stigma. You might not have a job.
Oh, you bet. And that's in fact the other. I mentioned two key factors of gay rights that predict support for gay rights in general. One is homosexuality something people choose or something they cannot change? The other is, do you have a close personal friend who's gay or lesbian?
The
percent who said, yes, I do, went from 35% to 48%. Or more than that. Let me get that exactly.
I think that's key. Is if you
have 44% to 56%.
If you identify with someone and you can have this connection, then you can empathize.
And so it's a powerful predictor of support for gays in the military and gays teaching. If you have a personal friend, and the jump from those of the general public who said, yes, I have a close personal friend who's gay or lesbian, was a significant increase and a key predictor of that additional support. So the answer, as you're suggesting, is come out of the closet. Let people know that you're here and what you're doing.
Harvey Milk said it best. Come out.
That's right.
The question is, in the demographic of the cause for the increased number, is there a certain area in the demographic of the older, younger, middle-aged? Who's the new group that's adding to that number?
It looks like the change is occurring across the board.
Oh, really? That's even more powerful.
But there are powerful predictors. Republican or Democrat predicts powerfully. Religiosity.
Believing
the Bible is the actual word of God to be taken literally word for word, rather than the Bible is the inspired word of God but written by men and contains some human errors, is a key predictor. Gender is a key predictor. Men are much less supportive than women and then every question we ask about comfort with diversity turns out to predict. Strikingly, the most powerful predictor was a question that said, on a 10-point scale, where 10 means very favorable and 1 means very unfavorable, what is your feeling about Muslims or the followers of Islam?
Oh,
that has nothing to do with the most powerful predictor. The people who said, I have a favorable feeling toward Muslims, were much more likely to be in support of gay rights.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
So it powerfully connects to a question that said, do you think the increasing ethnic diversity in Houston will eventually become a source of great strength for the city or a growing problem for the city? And the percent saying a source of great strength has gone up over the years and is a powerful predictor of support for gay rights.
Now, do you think that part of that is the fact that we have become so diverse and we see that as ourselves, our neighbors are not always look like us? The people we work with, the people we shop with, go to the grocery store, are not the people that used to look at like us.
I'm in a world now where not everybody's going to look like me or have the same propensities as me, and that's okay. That actually makes the world a much more interesting place. And that ability to feel comfortable with the diversity is the central challenge that Houston faces as a whole, because that transformation is absolutely given. It's an inevitable. We are at a point in Houston's history where Of everybody in Houston age 60 and older, 70% are Anglos. And of everybody under 30, more than 75% are non-Anglos.
Incredible.
No force in the world is going to stop Houston or Texas or America from becoming more Latino and less Anglo as the 21st century unfolds. So that comfort with diversity becomes a critical piece, and it connects to this comfort with people who are different from me in a variety of ways.
Now, from that information, is that really, can we look at that and expand that throughout the state, throughout the United States? Is this a pattern we're seeing nationwide?
Yes.
And you may not be able to
tell me that.
Is this nationwide where sea change is occurring?
Yeah, and it's a gradual, continuing, seemingly irreversible process that's happening nationwide from all the national surveys that we find in Houston, because Houston is a microcosm of the world. But the most powerful predictor of all, and that really locks into where we are in the future, is age. Younger Anglos are far more supportive of gay rights than older Anglos. And the cutoff seems to be at around age 60.
Really?
45 and 50-year-olds are not that different from 25 and 30-year-olds, but 60 and 70-year-olds are much more uncomfortable with both ethnic diversity and with the idea of support for gay rights.
So, is there any way to determine why, specifically?
Yes, I think it has to do with the fundamental law of human nature that says what I am familiar with feels right and natural, and what I'm unfamiliar with feels unnatural and somehow wrong. Older Anglos grew up in a homogeneous world of the 50s and 60s, of where gays were absolutely invisible, where it was a biracial world dominated, controlled, and automatic, taken for granted away by white men, becoming suddenly this new world. And so younger Anglos are absolutely take for granted what older Anglos have a great deal of difficulty.
Well, interesting. You say it because 50 years ago, when I was a very small child, and I'd visit my grandfather up in East Texas, and he'd take me down to the gas station, and there'd be the two water fountains, you know, white and colored.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd walk over to the colored and push the water, and I figured it was going to be red or blue or something like that. And, but that was still, and that hasn't been that long ago. It's been within my lifespan, but the change is phenomenal, and it's very healthy and encouraging.
And it's not at all surprising that older Anglos have difficulty with all of this, and as I say, you got to be gentle with Anglos. It's a process of change, but it's not surprising that younger Anglos are just growing up in a totally different kind of world.
Now, with the election of Mayor Anise Parker, do you think that this will sway your survey? And, as the first Rice graduate as mayor of Houston.
So cute how she did that.
Do you think that this will kind of sway public opinion of gays and kind of show itself in your survey?
I think it's another piece of this process.
As we're kind of getting this national and international attention,
Right.
I think.
But what was so interesting is that her sexuality was absolutely irrelevant. And people tried to make it relevant, and they couldn't. She was elected. She was a known quantity. She was elected because she was by far the most knowledgeable about the fiscal issues facing the city. We knew that was going to be the central challenge. And I got all these calls from people from newspapers all over the country about this. What's happening in Houston? But it's very much a part of this new world that is gradually taking shape.
And I think it's incidental. Yes, she was a lesbian, but she was the most qualified candidate who happened to be a lesbian.
Exactly.
And that's...
Yeah, and her lesbianism was
irrelevant.
Totally, and she had nothing on her agenda that said that she was going to push these...
Her agenda is running the city in the best way that she can.
That's right.
Well, in all of her conversations, she would say, no, this is about running the city.
Exactly.
Which she had been doing for almost 12 years at the time.
Right.
And so she was a known quantity about that.
Right. It was very interesting to see how the effort to raise that issue just got no traction.
Batted down.
I'm not too sure that it didn't go the other way.
Right.
The sentiments turned toward her.
That's right. Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. Whereas in the 1990s, it would have worked. I mean, that's my point. And the surveys show that. That shift.
So we have this kind of societal change that happened between 1990s and now, and I think it's manifesting itself here in Houston, where we're kind of on the front line of this new age.
You bet. We are where the American future is going to be worked out. We are 3 or 4 years ahead of Texas and about 30 years ahead of the United States in terms of the demographic.
Isn't that amazing? And we live here. We live in the melting pot of diversity.
Yeah, and this is and so how we navigate this transition will have enormous significance, not just for the Houston future, but for the American future.
Who's watching us? What, you know, are there other areas of the country looking, whoa, they just elected a gay mayor, the fourth largest city. Right in the heart of, right. Not of Dixie, but of the Southwest, where the Tea Party movement and all has been flourishing. Are the rest of the country watching us, see how we handle all this?
I think so. Houston's great problem has been, when you ask people, what are the 10 best cities in America to live in, and what are the 10 worst cities, Houston doesn't appear.
Either way.
In the middle.
People don't think of Houston, and now they're beginning to think of it. So it's, but the problem that Houston has had is that it's sort of viewed in stereotypical ways, and it takes it's not easy to penetrate that collective consciousness out there, but it is clearly beginning to happen. People are recognizing Houston as a very interesting city, a city that really does represent much of the American future.
Yeah, I've always thought we're the largest city in the country that has an image problem, that nobody either doesn't know about Houston, they haven't visited. I haven't seen the splendor that I love about Houston.
Well, that's what's so interesting in our surveys. People complain because we ask them to about traffic, about pollution, about crime, about the weather. And then we said, how would you rate the Houston area in general as a place to live? It's a wonderful place to live. 85% said excellent, in a way that is really quite striking. And there's a great strength of Houston, I think. The people who live in this city love it here, believe in this city, want to make it succeed. Our problem is that people who don't live here say, yuck, why would you want to live in Houston?
Exactly.
That's the challenge.
Thank you. Let's take a moment and make a pitch before we move on.
As we're talking about...
Wonderful city.
Yes. As we're talking about a wonderful city, what makes a great city is the community, and what better community station?
Community radio.
KPFT.
That's us, KPFT.
We ask that you call in and support, or you can go on the website, kpft.org. And
just remember to tell them it was for Queer Voices.
Yes.
Don't forget us now.
We have listeners that may not be listening live, and they may be listening tomorrow. And the fun drive is going on for several weeks. So if you are online, or if you're listening from afar on the internet, streaming live.
I know several people that aren't able to listen to the show right now while we're live, but we'll listen to it tomorrow. And those people, and many more that probably do so, whenever you hear the show and you hear our pitch, all you have to go call up here. Be sure to tell them you heard it on Queer Voices, and then or go to the internet
and
go to the website.
Believe it or not, we have people standing by right now. So if you're listening and you call in, you will get somebody on the phone, and we can absolutely take your money and your pledge, and we need your support to keep us going.
And you need to call 713-526-5738.
And what makes a community is the institutions it has. One of the many institutions here is public radio. There's a number of public radio stations here in Houston, but KPFT is by far the most original, the most grassroots, the most open to the public. We produce local programs about what's going on in the community, and this is a perfect example of how Queer Voices tries to talk about the issues going on within the community. We ask you to be part of that. We know our audience isn't that big compared to some of the other radio stations, but we do think that we have an audience that really is interested in what's going on in the community, an audience that really cares about what's going on in the community, a very passionate audience. And we know that you're probably also struggling in this economy, but if you can make a small pledge, just a small pledge to KPFT, show your support not only for this radio show, Queer Voices, but for the many other different types of programs that are done on here, from all the different types of public affairs to the music you won't hear anywhere else on any other radio station in this community. And as I was talking about earlier, this is the 40th anniversary of us being bombed off the air because people didn't like what they heard on the air here at KPFT. So we're asking you to call us. Call us now at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. FT.
This is Queer Voices.
And we're back. This is Jennifer and A again.
And Brian Levinka.
And we're here with Dr. Steven Kleinberg. And we were talking, the last thing was how people really love Houston. And I have to agree with that. You know, yeah. I was born and reared in Beaumont, got out of town as quick as I could.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to ask the question. Houston has been diverse and kind of cosmopolitan for many years. Why do you think that is? I mean, how did we become this diverse mecca, I guess?
Well, we have the second largest port in the country, the sixth largest port in the world. I tell people just because we're 50 miles from the ocean doesn't mean we can't have a port. Well, that port and oil, which was we were the world center for the production of oil and oil field manufacturing equipment. So it was a big international city almost before it was a national city. But it was an Anglo city, and it was a biracial southern city dominated by white men throughout its entire history until the oil bust. And then in the last 25 years has become one of the most ethnically diverse cities in the country. So it's a remarkable transformation in a very short amount of time.
And what would you say, where is our economy headed now after the bust, and we're kind of coming back in the oil and gas, but we're more diverse now. I mean, what are the jobs in the sectors?
Number one, we're in the midst of a serious recession.
Yeah.
The unemployment rate went from 4.1% in 2008 to 6.3% in 2009 to 8.5% today. Serious, real recession. 25% of our respondents said they had difficulty buying the groceries to feed their family in the last year. So don't underestimate the seriousness of this downturn. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, it's better in Houston.
It is better.
It is nationwide. It's 9.8%. Michigan is 14.6% unemployment. So, and Houston has far more going for it. It's not just oil and gas anymore. It's a medical center.
Mm.
It's the port. It's NASA, we think, still some possibilities. It's convention and tourism business, God help us. You know, this.
Yeah.
But it is it's a much more diverse city. It's a city that has a real capacity of attracting the best and the brightest people in America, working at the cutting edge of knowledge, putting that knowledge into it.
In general, when you did the survey, are people pessimistic or optimistic about our future?
They were pessimistic about their own futures. Compared to the past, only 20% said they were doing better in the last 3 years.
Okay.
That's lower than it has been in 29 years. At the depths of the recession, 31% said they were still doing better. And how do you think you'd be doing 3-4 years down the road? Only 48% thought they'd be doing better. That's lower than it's ever been. It was 49% or something. So there's pessimism or concern on a personal level, but optimism about Houston. And a broad concern still about the nation. It's a country headed for better times and more difficult times. It's a county that was largely Republican and has now become Democrat, but is turning back to becoming more 50-50.
So not blue or red, kind of purple.
There's a lot of anxiety out there. And everybody realizes that we're not going to go back to the old economy. We're going to emerge out of this economy, out of this recession, into something different, where people are not going to be going into debt and spending that much money as they had before,
mm-hmm.
and where jobs are not going to be as secure as they once were, and education will be a continuing need as we go forward.
But job security really, that goes back 15, 20 years. There was a big sea change during the 80s after that bust then,
right.
That, you know, everybody realized that it wasn't going to be like it used to be. And that was when the Rust Belt.
It was a loss of the blue-collar jobs.
Yes.
The union jobs that paid $15, $19 an hour. And then the result was, the best you could find was the muck jobs.
And I remember those times, because I was living here, mm-hmm. and driving down the freeway, and they had the cardboard cities here, yes, in Houston. Yes. And I tell people that, and they... most people don't even believe that.
New Hoovervilles.
Yes, down here. And it was people looking for jobs, right. Because we were still booming. It was before, right. we hit the bust.
That's right. And we had in this city very good blue-collar jobs. The big employers in the 1970s was Hughes Tool Company, Cameron Ironworks.
Mm-hmm.
We were the oil field manufacturing capital of America. Those blue-collar jobs had disappeared. And education has now become the critical determinant of a person's ability to earn enough money to support a family. And that's something new under the sun, and makes education and then attention to this next generation of kids, largely Latino and African-American, who will be the future of Houston and America.
Which brings up a question as to what is the impression that was seen in the study concerning immigration?
Ooh. Deep ambivalence about immigration. That's the other thing that's interesting to think about more broadly. We love the idea of being a nation of immigrants, but we have never been comfortable when large numbers of foreign-born residents were in our midst. We didn't like it when the Irish came in the 1940s. We didn't like it when the Germans settled in New Braunfels.
No.
Speaking only German, bringing this strange Protestant cult with them from the old country. We didn't like it when the Greeks, Poles, and Italians came at the turn of the last century. And we're uncomfortable now. We like second and third generation immigrants. U.S.-born, speaking perfect English with exotic cultures. Right? So there's a generalized anxiety. And we were a nation of immigrants when 15.9 million immigrants came here between 1890 and 1914. And then for 50 years, there was virtually no immigration, and we become a nation of immigrants again. Yeah. So a lot of the anxiety that you're seeing today, a lot of the concerns about Latinos are precisely the concerns that people expressed about the Italians and the Greeks and the Poles, about the Germans, about the Irish. So that's a big part of it. Then you add to that fear of terrorism, and add to that economic insecurity, and it's not surprising that there's real ambivalence. But on the other hand, also, again, and tied into age, growing acceptance of the fact that this is...
Is it because the younger people have seen and associated with the different ethnicities in their high school and their middle school, yeah. So it's not like, you know, it's nothing new. They've seen
it. They take it for granted. What's the big deal? And one of the fun questions we asked was a question back in 2007 where we asked Anglos. We asked everyone, but Anglos, have you by any chance ever been involved in a romantic relationship with someone who is not Anglo? And the percent who said, yes, I have, thank you very much for asking, was 56% among the Anglos under 30, falling to 7% among those over 65.
That says something there, doesn't it?
That's a powerful reminder of how very different the worlds are. So
what has been the most surprising trend to you in the years that you've been doing this study? What kind of makes you go,
In this particular year or more broadly?
this year, but more broadly. What's been surprising to you about Houston and the county and the region?
Well, I think just this remarkable degree to which Houston is at the center of the new America of the 21st century. And where you can see more clearly articulated here than probably anywhere else in the country the contours of the 21st century America with the shift in the nature of the economy and the demographic revolution more clearly articulated here, because we were riding the oil boom while the rest of the country had its stagflating 70s and its rust belt stuff. And then all of a sudden we collapsed and then joined them in that. And then this demographic revolution has occurred. So it's turned out to be a far more interesting, important city for understanding who we are and what we're becoming as a nation than I would have thought 20 years ago.
Well, one of the an observation along with our focus in on this diversity and the way the demographics changed and all that, women have come to the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at city council for the last couple of elections, the dominant force on city council have been women.
Right.
That, you know, it was the rare occasion that a man was on city council, where it once was that a woman couldn't get elected to anything. Right. She was always submitted to the subservience place somewhere within the government, but not as an elected official.
And we all thought that was perfectly right in the old days because women's place was in the home.
Oh, yeah.
And now we can't imagine that. You know, it's just striking how quickly one can take for granted changes that were revolutionary at the time.
Well, you say that Houston is the future, and we have women leaving our city, so maybe the future is women leading the country.
Well, one of the sources of predictive power here is that when you find in your surveys factors that differentiate younger, better educated people from older, less educated, you can feel pretty confident that the younger, better educated are likely to be the future rather than the older, less educated. And 30 years ago, in the 1960s, that's what you saw with regard to women's rights. Women's equality was supported by younger, better educated respondents. And you said, okay, we're going to watch that happen. And it's exactly what's happening with gay rights today. It's younger, better educated, and it gives you some real confidence that watch that process go as the older, less educated begin to fade out. And as we get more education and younger people move into more powerful positions.
Well, and we look at county government, you know, county council. We have several women on as commissioners, plus the fact that our sheriff is a Hispanic now.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been unheard of 10 years ago.
That's right.
that
yes, exactly.
You know, and so we see these changes, and I know for some of us who've been here for 30 years of it anyway here in Houston, it's encouraging. It's encouraging to see that because there's a sense of comfort here.
Right. And gay rights is a part of that. I mean, that's what's interesting. And what our surveys show absolutely clearly is that the people who feel comfortable with ethnic diversity are also much more comfortable with equal rights for gays and for expecting gays to be a part of their world.
And a little while ago, you were talking about that cutoff's around 60 years mm-hmm. old.
Yep.
Isn't that the first portion of the boom, baby boomers?
Baby boom, that's... Yes,
baby boomers are born, 76 million babies born between 1946 and 1964. So. The leading edge is 64 years old today.
So that's
So actually, the predominant.
So the
group.
Older baby boomers and the silent generation, which is a group of
correct,
are the ones that have more difficulty with these changes. Younger baby boomers and Gen X and millennials are coming into a very different world. And,
well, baby boomer, that generation, everything changed, and so they're used to change, and the newer generation is just in the middle of all of this societal change. And I think, you know, in our lifetime, we will see big changes in the gay movement and equal rights.
I think so. It just seems, if you go on and make any predictions, you know, you got to hang in there, don't get too impatient, but there's an unmistakable process of you know, every single question we've asked about, it's never been a reversal, and everyone has gone up. And each year you just go into the sample, and the same question we asked 2 years ago, 15 points higher.
Isn't that possibly this fact of the older people having less comfort in the changes that are coming about? Do you think that's what's really pushed this legislative ban and constitutional ban on gay marriage? Do you think that's what it is? Their fear that they can't stop the inexorable change that's coming?
Well, the main thing to keep in mind here is that there's a big distinction between public opinion,
yes,
which is what I'm measuring,
right,
asking people in the privacy of their homes, how do you see the world,
mm-hmm,
and politically effective opinion. Who votes? Who pays money to the senators and Congress?
Okay.
Whose voices are heard? Who sets the agenda? And when you have low voter turnout, as we have dramatically in this city, what was the percentage of voter turnout for the mayor's race? 16% of eligible voters. You know that the people who voted are disproportionately Anglo, affluent, and over the age of 65. They vote. And younger, less affluent people tend not to vote. And so that's why what we pick up in our surveys only gradually gets translated into political things.
So that's that slow movement, and it's because of who's voting.
Who's voting? Who's got the ear of the electors and of the candidates? It's one of the reasons why the Latino vote, which is going to become so powerful, is not yet very powerful. It's precisely because they have less education and younger, and both of those are key predictors of whether you vote or not.
Very good.
And one of the things, too, when we're talking about this is when we're talking about these different items, especially with the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community, that we can see encouragement. But what is the best advice you give us for the future? If you had some, everybody listening out there, okay, this is the quintessential answer. Okay. The person who has their pulse on the county.
I think coming out is about the best advice you can come out and don't flaunt it, you know, don't make a big deal of it, but share your experience and your reality with others, and you will find that that's, you know, whoa, it's my doctor, it's my accountant.
oh, and by the way, I'm gay. Like, oh, you're gay. Oh,
yeah, no, I mean,
cool.
You got to be careful. But I think that's the key. That's the Harvey Milk message, and it's difficult to do. I know, and you don't expect immediate acceptance, but you can have some real confidence. You're coming into a world where this is increasingly something that
more and more visibility is coming. With.
Absolutely. Right. And we've been talking with Dr. Stephen Kleinberg, and you're head of what department now?
I'm a professor of sociology, and I'm a co-director of a brand new institute that Rice has just founded, the Institute for Urban Research. There will be a permanent home for the Houston surveys. So we'll go on in perpetuity and be of far greater access and analyzing Houston within the context of the broader transformations occurring across
the world. And if someone wants more of this information, how can they find it?
Visit the website, IUR, Institute for Urban Research, iur.rice.edu.
Thank you very much. This is always delightful when you come.
Thank you, Jennifer.
This is Queer Voices.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
I'm Ray Hill. This is radio station KPFT Houston. We're a listener-sponsored radio station, and we depend on our listeners to make contributions. I've been around here since 1968, and hell, we didn't get a transmitter until 1970. And I went on the air in 1975 with a gay show. In 1980, I started the prison show. Continuous broadcasting on public radio means that I frequently ask folks just like you to make contributions, tax-deductible contributions, to the radio station. And you can do that on this program. Listen for the number and give it a call.
You're listening to KPFT 90.1, Houston.
I'm Tanya Kane Parrott.
And I'm John Torres.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending May 15th, 2010. Thousands of LGBT people and their supporters marched in major cities across Australia on May 15th to rally for marriage equality. According to the Australian queer website, Same Same, more than 2,000 people hit the streets of Melbourne, while about 1,000 rallied in Sydney. Demonstrations were also reported in Brisbane, Canberra, Adelaide, and Perth. Some couples held impromptu kiss-ins, providing colorful photo ops for the media. The demonstrations kicked off a week of annual events in observance of Idaho, the International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia. The series of rallies, demonstrations, and other events around the world is expected to be capped by celebrations of the first annual Harvey Milk Day on or close to May 22nd, the gay icon's birthday, across California. Events have also been planned in other U.S. cities.
There were reports this week suggesting that the proposed Anti-Homosexuality Act in Uganda is not going to pass. The African nation already outlaws private consensual adult gay sex, but the draconian measure would impose the death penalty in some cases. It would also jail anyone who fails to report a suspected lesbian or gay person to the authorities. A commission created by Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni has recommended that the bill be withdrawn. Ugandan lawmaker Adolf Musige, who led the commission, told the New York Times that the legislation is unconstitutional. If we proceeded, he said, it would definitely provoke criticism, and rightly so. Many governments and a host of human rights groups around the world have strongly criticized the proposed legislation. The measure still needs to be officially dropped or voted down by the Ugandan parliament. That's expected to happen, Musige told the Times, within weeks.
The man charged with the brutal murder of gay Puerto Rican teen Jorge Steven Lopez Mercado pleaded guilty this week after confessing to the crime last week, aborting a trial that was set to begin on May 17th. He was immediately sentenced to 99 years in prison. Juan José Martínez Matos confessed to stabbing, dismembering, and decapitating Mercado and partially burning his body before dumping it on a remote roadside near Calle in November. We are able to find a bit of peace in this aspect, but it is still not going to return Stephen, the victim's mother, Miriam Mercado, said in a statement. But at least there is justice in Puerto Rico.
Conservative Party leader David Cameron became Prime Minister of Britain this week following the official resignation of Labour Party PM Gordon Brown. Cameron accepted the Queen's request to form the next government, as is the custom there, after his Tories won the most seats in Parliament in the general election last week. It wasn't an overall majority, however, so the party of former Iron Lady PM Margaret Thatcher will lead a seemingly odd alliance with leader Nick Clegg and the third-place finishing Liberal Democrats. The Lib Dems, which rejected coalition government overtures from Labour, won far fewer seats than either major party, and it's said to be even more to the political left than Labour. Cameron said during campaign interviews with the UK's queer media that he believes same-gender couples should be allowed to adopt, that the blood donation ban on gay men should be lifted, and that schools need to tackle homophobic bullying. Britain's Pink News website said that Cameron is expected to be the most gay-friendly conservative prime minister in history.
Denmark, which in 1989 was the first nation to create same-gender registered partnerships, has extended adoption rights to those couples. Parliament passed the measure without the support of the ruling coalition. Justice Minister Lars Barfoed said the government opposed the bill because children as a rule need a mother and a father. Danish gays and lesbians previously could adopt only as individuals or as the second parent of the partner's biological child. The Adoptions Equality Bill goes into effect on July 1st.
In the U.S., some moderate Democrats are reportedly concerned that a show of support for the Transgender Inclusive Employment Non-Discrimination Act, or ENDA, could hurt their re-election prospects in November. The Hill, which specializes in capital coverage, reported that those Democrats don't want to vote before the midterms on a hot-button issue that's viewed as popular on the left. A 2007 version of ENDA, without transgender protections, won support from some centrists and passed the House in a bipartisan vote of 235 to 184. The measure never came up for a vote in the Senate, and its fate this year, with or without gender identity protections, would be uncertain. Some moderate Republicans, who supported the 2007 bill with protections based only on sexual orientation, said they would not support the transgender inclusive bill this year. Dozens of Democrats who supported the 2007 bill have not signed on as co-sponsors this year.
And opponents of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the U.S. military policy banning service by open gays and lesbians, have stepped up their pressure for the passage of a repeal measure this year. More than 100 LGBT veterans and their non-gay allies invaded the Capitol this week to lobby for repeal. But the advocacy group, Service Members Legal Defense Network, reported that repeal language is not in President Barack Obama's transmittal to Congress this week of the National Defense Authorization Act, as advocates have lobbied him to do. Don't Ask, Don't Tell was attached to a similar spending bill in 1993. Meanwhile, Defense Secretary Robert Gates defended last week's letter about the Pentagon's protracted review of how repeal would be implemented, which won't be finished until December, during a CNN interview this week. Gates urged the delay of congressional repeal until the report of that review has been issued. Senate Armed Services Committee Chair Carl Levin dismissed that notion this week, noting that Gates spoke in favor of repeal during his February congressional testimony. Levin said his only concern was lining up enough votes to pass the measure. He told Congressional Quarterly that, "We are not a rubber stamp for the president. He says he wants to repeal, don't ask." Levin said, "Why shouldn't we repeal it?"
As more and more LGBT people and their supporters grow impatient with a seemingly obstructionist President Barack Obama, and with the Democratic Party's failure to deliver on its promises to pass ENDA and to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and the Queer Marriage Banning Defense of Marriage Act, new grassroots demonstrations demanding progress are a virtual certainty.
If you support queer equality or a woman's right to choose, you represent an insidious and dangerous threat to humanity. That was the essence of comments by Pope Benedict XVI as he continued his long-running verbal assaults on abortion and gay and lesbian rights during an official visit to heavily Roman Catholic Portugal this week. The Portuguese Parliament passed Socialist Prime Minister José Sócrates' Marriage Equality Bill in January, but it still needs the signature of President Aníbal Cavaco Silva, who's been under great pressure from the church and conservative groups not to sign it. If he vetoes the bill, Parliament may be able to override it with another vote.
There were developments this week concerning a leading right-wing Christian anti-gay activist's European vacation with a male escort, while a previously disgraced evangelical minister has resurfaced. George Reekers was photographed at the Miami airport by two young gay journalists from the alternative New Times newspaper with the blonde-haired, blue-eyed 20-year-old he hired from the rentboy.com website as they returned from a 10-day European sojourn. The escort, who goes by the name Lucianne, has told reporters that his contract with Reekers called for sexually charged daily massages, that he spent at least 8 hours a day with the Baptist minister, including two meals, and that he carried Reekers' luggage. The 61-year-old Reekers claims he was not aware of Lucianne's profession until midway through the vacation, and that he hired the young man to carry his bags because an operation made heavy lifting impossible for him. But Lucianne also said Reekers told him he'd hired other escorts in the past. Reekers resigned this week from the board of the National Association for Research and Therapy of Homosexuality, or NARTH, an organization that promotes counseling for people who struggle with unwanted homosexuality. In a statement posted on the group's website, Reekers said that, with the assistance of a defamation attorney, I will fight these false reports because I have not engaged in any homosexual behavior whatsoever. I am not gay and never have been. Reekers was paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to testify in support of anti-queer legislation in Arkansas and Florida. He's a co-founder of the adamantly anti-queer Family Research Council and has written that gay people are a deviant segment of society.
Meanwhile, Ted Haggard, the disgraced former pastor of a Christian megachurch and president of a national evangelical organization, officially incorporated a new in-home church this week in Colorado. According to the Colorado Springs Gazette, the new church, called the St. James, uses the home address of Haggard and his wife, Gail. The paper reports that the Haggards have given paid talks for about a year and a half at evangelical churches across the country. Haggard told the Gazette that they incur out-of-pocket expenses while on the road, so St. James is a way to be reimbursed for those costs in an orderly manner. Haggard did not rule out the possibility that the St. James might become a membership church one day. The former New Life Church pastor was forced from his position in 2006 after he admitted to soliciting oral sex and purchasing crystal meth from a male prostitute.
And finally, RentBoy.com issued a statement on the Reekers scandal this week. If you're a famous heterosexual homophobe and appear in public with a rent boy, you're just asking for trouble, it read in part. If you would like to take a porn star or male escort on vacation, RentBoy.com is where you can find him. Excess baggage can indeed be heavy, and there is nothing like a hot man to help you unload it.
That's News Wrap for the week ending May 15th, 2010. Written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. You can read the text of this week's News Wrap online at www.thiswayout.org.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm John Torres.
And I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
Well, you know, I really appreciate This Way Out. This Way Out is a program that's put together by another collective, not us, put together in Los Angeles, and we're able to get it pretty fresh. It comes down around 5, 6 o'clock when they finally get it all edited and put together. And we get it, and then we put it on the air in between the segments that we do here locally. This Way Out's been part of this show ever since the beginning. And, you know, they struggle, too, to be able to do the show. In the old days, we used to have to get the tapes, and it's, you know, over the phone lines. It used to sound really bad. But the technology has changed so that we have a better sound quality and able to give it to you. And they do a really good report of covering things outside nationally and internationally, and then we try to cover the local stuff. And so we're just sort of reminding you what we think is the value of Queer Voices. We're asking you what you think the value of Queer Voices and KPFT, public radio, community radio, grassroots radio, and all those wonderful things that we talk about all the time. And we're very lucky to be able to have this space between 9 and 11 p.m. on Mondays. And I know we don't have a very big audience at this time of night because people are either, you know, getting ready for work tomorrow. It's been a rough day at work, and it's a little bit late. You know, Houston's a pretty much early town when people get to work. So we're asking you, if you're listening out there, call us up. Give us a call at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT.
Now, have we had anybody call in? Do we want to recognize some people?
We have a couple thank yous.
Yes, I would like to thank our last guest. Before Stephen left the studio, the station, he gave a very generous pledge, and we want to thank him very much.
That's the best type of guest, one that not only gives us a great interview, but also pledges and supports the station.
Absolutely.
And we also had a David Salerno pledge, and he was very generous, too. Now, Jennifer, if you're out there and you're thinking about pledging, are there certain things that maybe we can dangle in front of them?
Well, there is. As a matter of fact, if you... are at the pledge level of $365, which if you figure that out, that's about a dollar a day.
That's my Aggie math, and I think that's a dollar a day.
That's exactly right. You can have tickets to the Shin Yun Performing Arts with Orchestra. Now, they're performing July 2nd or the 3rd at the Wortham Center, and along with the tickets, you'll get the reception after the show. Now, this is a great opportunity, and it's a pledge of a dollar a day.
A dollar a day gets you a fabulous cultural event at the Wortham Center.
Exactly, and you can go and enjoy the performance, and also you can have go to the reception after the performance, and just have a wonderful evening.
Well, we're not, you know, maybe you don't want to do a dollar a day. Maybe just do a one-time pledge of a lesser amount. Think about how much you spend on coffee a year. If you could give that to good radio, to informative radio that fills you in with our local community news and issues, wouldn't you consider that a good expenditure? I would make that argument.
Well, I like to look at it, you know, for about the cost of a cup of coffee, you could pledge $60 a year.
That's not too bad. Jennifer, I know you spend more than that on coffee in like a month.
I wouldn't say that, but you're close.
Yes, so take one half of Jennifer's coffee budget and give that to the radio station. Now, why should people call in now at this particular time and during our show?
Well, by calling into our show and pledging at this time, you're showing your support for Queer Voices as well as the station. And you're in support of the kind of programming we put on here, our guests. It's a vote of confidence on what we do. You know, there's After Hours, which is after midnight on Saturdays, and there's a lesbian music show. But this is the only GLBT news program.
The most current information source
exactly.
In the city.
We do announcements. We do a lot of things. But you got to call. Show us your support by picking up the phone and calling and pledging at 713-526-5738.
Yes, our volunteers are out there waiting, and please make the phones ring and show us that you're out there and you're listening. 713-526-KPFT.
Magazines, newspapers, cable television, the internet, all sources of news and information, and all cost money. KPFT costs money too, but unlike those other news sources, you get to decide whether you want to help pay for it and how much to contribute. It's unusual in the age of big corporate media to have a quality source of news and information that's paid for voluntarily, but that's one more way KPFT gives you more than you might expect. We can do it thanks to listeners who contribute their voluntary support every year. Please join them. Call 713-526-5738 or go to kpft.org. Again, you can make your gift at kpft.org or call 713-526-5738. That's 713-526-KPFT. Call now. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, KPFT, Houston.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. Now, more of Queer Voices with Jack Belinsky and the entire Queer Voices crew.
Hey, sing if you're glad to be gay. Sing if you're happy. This way.
And this is Brian Lavinka.
And Jennifer Renee. And it's time to have a party. Now, let's see. A couple of weeks ago was the Unity Banquet. And, you know, last Saturday there just wasn't a whole lot going. Now, Sunday we had an event.
We did.
But this Saturday is another event, a very important event, and it's the HRC Gala, the annual gala. And we have in our studios Lorenz Snowden, who is one of the tri-chairs of the banquet. And Donna Flynn, who's one of the tri-chairs of the political committee. Of the HRC Steering Committee of Houston.
Now, what are these letters, HRC? What does that mean? What if
HRC? Human Rights Campaign.
I see.
I guess we could have asked them. Are we interviewing each other?
We're interviewing. No, we do that all the time. So welcome to Queer Voices, and I know a lot of work has gone into Saturday. So tell us about what's gonna happen on Saturday.
Well, Saturday is our 13th annual human rights campaign Houston Gala, and it kicks off at 6 o'clock, where we'll have our silent auction. Lots of good things that are going to be on the auction block during that time. And 7 o'clock, we'll start moving into the ballroom for the program. The program begins at 7:30.
And excellent food.
Great food at the Hilton America.
And I was going to say, where do you just go anywhere? No.
Well, if you're going to have a real party, it's the Hilton Americas, right?
It's at the Hilton Americas in their main ballroom. And we're very excited this year because we have a great lineup, I would say. We have...
Do tell.
Oh, okay.
Like who?
Well, we have, of course, Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee, who will be receiving one of the Political Equality Award. We also have, that will be with us, Bill White, the former mayor of Houston.
Future governor.
And candidate
and
for governor.
Candidates. That's right.
On the Democratic side.
Democratic side, you're correct. And Tabitha Coffey, who was on Sheer Genius, I guess it is, and Tabitha's
Salon Makeover.
Yeah. She's going to be receiving our Visibility Award. And our keynote speaker will be Meredith Baxter. Is coming in town just to be with us, so we're excited about
that. Exciting, yes.
And,
yes.
We also have Crystal Waters, who's going to bring the entertainment. So we're excited
Crystal
about Crystal Waters.
Waters. Yeah. Oh.
We're bringing her back.
We're having some entertainment.
That was good times
that
for
was
me.
Good.
I love
Maybe
Crystal
Maybe a little gay dancing.
And, okay, so you were saying earlier, the silent auction, for people that don't know a whole lot about banquets. Now, this is an opportunity to come and be around a lot of people from the community. It's the place to be this coming Saturday night.
Correct.
And since it is, if people want to, the silent auction, what is that about? Tell us what that's about, Donna.
Well, we have lots of donations from a lot of kind people and businesses that have donated all kinds of different items. Sometimes it's particular, you know, actual things that you can take home with you. Sometimes it's services. But all of those things are auctioned off, and the proceeds go to the great work that HRC is doing.
Now, when you say silent auction, would you just write down what you're going to bid?
There's forms around each thing, and you can anonymously bid on each of those items.
But this year.
Oh, that's right.
This year.
Oh, my God. Fiona's about to blow up.
This year, instead of going around and signing up on the papers, we will have the iPad.
iTouch.
Where you can really sit in anywhere in the room and prepare your bids online. And so everybody who wants to participate will have an iPad or iTouch to be able to use for the silent auction. So we are excited about that.
High tech. We're the 21st century. We're doing away with the pad and pencil.
Exactly.
Now, I noticed that the theme is Project Equality. Can you talk about that?
Where'd the theme come from and what's it about?
What can we expect from this?
Well, I guess...
As Donna says, she doesn't.
Project Equality was the theme that was chosen for the Houston Gala this year. Because we were focusing on, I guess, more of the fashion conscious. So we were looking at the Project Equality, Project Runway being the theme. And so we inviting Tabitha Coffey to join us as our Visibility Award recipient. And we really dovetailed off of that. And so it is an effort. We look at HRC as being the organization that is really pushing for equality, and so we thought that theme really fit.
What are some of the activities of the Human Rights Campaign that this gala will support? Donna?
There's a lot of key legislations we've been focusing on. Particularly this year, we've had a lot of different efforts towards repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So that's one of our key ones. In fact, we just had a huge lobby day where veterans and their supporters showed up on Capitol Hill to visibly and vocally show their support for the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. We're also incredibly active on getting a fully inclusive INDA passed. So those are our two biggies. Of course, we're always working towards marriage equality. We're always working towards equality for families and for example, currently the Uniting American Families Act is another one that we've been working on. So all of those key pieces of legislation that will affect everyone in the nation are things that HRC is working on, and all of these proceeds will go towards getting those passed.
And it takes a lot of people to put one of these things on, doesn't it?
A lot of people working together almost an entire year.
Y'all start a year out, right?
Exactly.
Wow.
And so we do a little carryover, our tri-chairs this year. So we have two of the tri-chairs that will be rolling off, and the lucky one gets to stay behind.
The shadow.
Who's the lucky one?
I am the lucky one.
You're the one.
And so
you'll have seniority next year.
Yes,
huh?
And I don't know how much seniority that will be, though.
Now, how many people usually attend this? I know it fills up the ballroom pretty good.
We're looking this year anywhere between 800 and 1,000 people being there. Our ticket sales are, and by the way, we still have tickets available, and so we would.
And where will we go to get tickets?
You can visit us online at www.hrchouston.org, and it will direct you to how to purchase your tickets.
Now, let's talk about the attire. I mean, what would one wear to such a gala and nice event like this?
It's fabulous.
For the ladies.
The attire is fabulous.
let's talk about the ladies. What should they wear?
It's a formal event, so you'll see. Actually, the women get a lot of flexibility. We can wear just about anything. So you'll have folks in formal gowns. There'll be women with interesting cocktail dresses and women in suits and tuxedos.
I was about to say,
we get to do the whole thing.
Yes. Yeah, that's after all, it is the GLBNT.
Yeah, we're not gonna.
That's right.
Now, and for the gentlemen, what
and the gentlemen, with? Most gentlemen will be in tuxedos, although there's all kinds of options there as well. I've seen it all, actually. So I think whatever you find to be beautiful and fabulous would be perfect for the event.
I think of this as the gay prom. This is like the big night in the city where everybody comes out and dresses up, and we kind of have our peacock feathers out, and we show each other, and we see everybody. And you know, it's all for pushing our agenda forward and getting equal rights. And you know, it's on a national level, and I think we should make that point that we are fighting on the national level against forces that are very much aligned against us. And so this is our voice on the national level.
That's absolutely right. Absolutely.
Good point.
And the thing is that this. So few opportunities. I'm back on the dress.
Oh, Jennifer is planning her dress.
I can see the cogwheel. You wouldn't believe it. Hey, well, there are very few times for us to really dress to the nines.
Yep.
For the gals and the guys, we used to have a lot more events, but this is the premier event every year for the most part for the entire community to get out and get together and enjoy an evening together and like Brian said, wear peacock feathers out.
That's right, and learn more about where all our time, effort, and money is going.
Yep. As far as what HRC is doing, we talked about that legislation, but there's more activities that go on within HRC that most people don't know about.
I know if you do not mention the Federal Club, Fiona will literally come and get you.
She'll be waiting for you outside of the studio.
Yes,
she's having a good giggle at all of this.
Please mention that.
But there are other activities.
There are
other committees, other activities that go on. What are some of those?
Yes.
Please. You want to talk about Federal Club first?
You can talk about Federal Club. Well, Federal Club is our, I guess, one of our leadership teams, and those are the individuals that have given... contribute a certain amount a month to the HRC. And so from that, I think that those individuals, and we encourage people, and that will be one of the pitches that we will make at the gala, is we encourage people to give more to the Federal Club.
Mm-hmm. But we also have general membership, which starts at $35.
Oh, we don't talk about money.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's a very reasonable
annual rate. Correct. But HRC is involved in a lot of other things, and if I could talk about that for a moment.
Please do.
We have our coming out project. There's a family project. There's a whole diversity program, in fact, a whole diversity steering committee locally as well as nationally, faith and religion programs, workplace projects. In fact, the workplace project ties into our gala because we have our corporate equality index where a team of folks look out and see what are the equality policies at different businesses around the community. And we have an index that rates them. And so this year, Continental Airlines will be receiving an award for getting 100% on that corporate equality index.
And that's for here locally. I know there one for nationally.
Yes.
Because
In fact, each of the different galas try to recognize.
And I like to follow that. You know, it's when I'm going to spend my money, I want to make sure I'm spending it that there are in the right place. There are some companies that I used to enjoy their food and that I don't eat their food anymore because or go to their stores simply because of their treatment of the GLBT community. Right. And I think it's important for our community to do just that. You know, every little bit helps.
Right. Yep. And you can get a copy of that index online at hrc.org. And also, you can download an iPhone app. And so when you're out shopping and everything else, you can
get an iPhone app.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to I know what I'm going to be loading tomorrow.
So absolutely. So this Saturday, let's talk about the gala again. It's this Saturday. Where is it at?
At the Hilton Americas.
Which, downtown
Houston. I think that's 1600 Lamar.
That's right.
And
big old Hilton sign on it.
Huge sign.
Can't miss it.
Starting at 6 o'clock, we'll meet for the silent auction begins, and the program will begin at 7 o'clock.
And if you don't have tickets, you can go...
You can go to www.hrchouston.org.
Very good.
And anything else we've missed that you want to make sure that we hit?
I don't think so.
They're just looking at one another, smiling. Well, we want to make sure. That's always the question because sometimes you'll I should have said something about this. But it is a great time. I was there last year. It was a great time. I've been there a couple of years. And so if you don't have any other plans for Saturday night, you need to come to the gala. You know, it gives you an opportunity to dress up and meet your friends and to see people you haven't seen in a while. There's some people I see at the gala that I don't see all year long, except at the gala. And so,
Jennifer, and I would say also the support of the work that is being done. I think that's the most important thing, that all of the work that is done. I mean, this is an effort of highlighting and showcasing that as well.
And we've been talking with Lorenz Snowden, one of the tri-chairs of the gala, and Donna Flynn, a tri-chair of the political committee, both on the HRC steering committee here in Houston, Texas.
So join us and join them on Saturday at the Hilton Americas for a wonderful event that you will not forget.
This is Queer Voices.
Thank you.
Magazines, newspapers, cable television, the internet, all sources of news and information, and all cost money. KPFT costs money too, but unlike those other news sources, you get to decide whether you want to help pay for it and how much to contribute. It's unusual in the age of big corporate media to have a quality source of news and information that's paid for voluntarily, but that's one more way KPFT gives you more than you might expect. We can do it thanks to listeners who contribute their voluntary support every year. Please join them. Call 713-526-5738 or go to kpft.org. Again, you can make your gift at kpft.org or call 713-526-5738. That's 713-526-KPFT. Call now. This is commercial free, listener sponsored Pacifica Radio, KPFT, Houston.
This is J.D. Doyle, producer of Queer Music Heritage and Out Radio, and I want to tell you about the appearance in Houston of an artist I really admire. Now, we don't get too many openly gay male artists coming through town, so I don't want you to miss knowing about this one. He's Tom Goss, and I want you to hear one of his songs, and afterwards I'll tell you where he's playing. As an intro, I've got a short interview quote from him about his new EP and the song you'll hear.
Well, the EP is a political EP all about marriage equality. I've been putting together marriage equality songs for the past couple years, but I haven't released them on an
album. The organization Gays and Lesbians of Zimbabwe gained global attention in 1995 when a violent mob drove them out of the Zimbabwe International Book Fair. The activists of GALS believe that a high-profile event with the theme Human Rights and Justice, emphasizing freedom of expression and of the press, would be the perfect place to get their message across. They had been barred from access to the media. Their struggle to participate in the book fair went on for years. They've also endured hearing officials like President Robert Mugabe repeatedly call them worse than pigs and dogs. But their movement grew to encompass AIDS education and a host of other services, including a GALS resource center in Harare. GALS and its work have come into the spotlight again with the recent release of the U.S. State Department's annual Human Rights Report. It documents a rise of so-called corrective rape used against lesbians and gay men in Zimbabwe. Since when does a hate crime become a cure for anything? GALS Programs Manager for Gender, Fadzai Muparutsa, explained the phenomenon to Violet Gonda on her SW Radio Africa hot seat.
People have a certain belief that, particularly men towards women who present themselves masculine, if they have sex with a man, then they will appreciate male sex and want to be in heterosexual relationships. So the idea behind it is that you rape someone and you correct their sexual feelings towards people of the same sex. So putting it in that way means that people think that it's something that is positive and it is corrective, but what it is in fact is very negative because it is rape. And putting a term like corrective in front of it or curative before the word rape is in some way desensitizing the kind of violations or the kind of violence that lesbians or men, gay men, experience.
And has GALS, has your association actually received such reports?
Yes, we have. We have received. There aren't that many. We can't say it's on the increase, but what's happened of late is that people are talking a lot more about it. And so people will come to the office and report cases that they've experienced, and particularly at the hands of either their families, because this kind of rape usually happens in private spaces, in the homes, or in close-knit societies that our members stay in.
Now, isn't that taboo to actually sleep with a member of the same family?
Well, it's a very disturbing act that happens. So let's say my family members feel that I need to be corrected. They will get somebody to force themselves onto me in the privacy of our home, and that's what happens a lot of the time.
You know, this report has raised a lot of skepticism. Now, does it really happen to both men and women of homosexual tendencies? Are women really raping men in Zimbabwe?
Yes, we've heard that women are raping men. We're not sure what the motive behind that is, because there are a couple of articles that have come out in the press. So I can't really go into detail about that particular situation. But what I can talk about is the rape that happens towards women, commonly known as lesbian and bisexual women. If we look at patriarchy, for example, right, we're looking at the position of women, how their roles are so embedded or strictly regulated and institutionalized, right? So a woman is supposed to be a mother, she's supposed to embody guardianship and all of that, parenthood, childbearing, feminized. And what you have now, because this is how we look at homosexuality from the African context, or let me talk about it from the Zimbabwean context, the stereotyped lesbian who is a masculine, so-called butch woman who dresses in a male way, presents in a male way, works in a male way, but is a woman. And so when this rape takes place, it's because men feel that these women are taking, let's say, are moving away from what their roles should be, A, by becoming a man or wanting to become a man, and that they do not want to sleep with men, which is a problem because women are created for men, right? That's how patriarchy is explained, right? Women are created for men. So when a woman is now not sleeping with a man, how best can he then get her back into his life or into his circles or into the roles that she's supposed to be? It's by forcing her into sex. So that's the kind of thinking that's behind curative rape and the kind of thinking that's behind correcting the situation that's, say, if it's abnormal for people to be lesbian or for men to be gay, how best can we control that? Because there's the part where you can talk about prayer or you can talk about exorcism, you can talk about the traditional healing. And then there's a part where people feel that they can take it into their own hands and rape, go out and rape women to make them appreciate men. And quite frankly, I don't understand how that makes sense, because if you rape somebody, I'm not sure how you expect them to appreciate any kind of relationship with a man when the first relationship that they've encountered is a violent one.
And understand that the report that was compiled or released by the U.S. State Department through the U.S. Embassy in Harare actually went further to say that lesbian women are raped by men to make them enjoy heterosexual acts, while gay men are raped by women, sometimes under supervision of villagers and relatives, to remove their sexual orientation tendencies. Have you been receiving reports like that?
No, I'm sure that's something that's come out of the press, and I'm sure if we were to go into it, we'll probably come up with cases like that, and they're isolated, very isolated. What I think would be more precise would be that gay men who are feminized are raped by other men to... So usually gay men who present in a very feminine way, so they're raped because... that femininity is something that the men don't expect a man to have, because they should be masculine, strong, and what have the expectations of what a man should be. And so they rape them to try and strengthen them or man them up.
Right.
And it's almost in an insulting way. The rape is almost a form of spitting on somebody, for example. Yeah.
I was actually going to ask you that, can it be controlled through this way, you know, so-called corrective rape, or it actually makes a person even more gay?
No, I'm not sure about making them more gay, but what I can definitely think about is that if the thinking behind the rape is to cure somebody, the first thing you think about is what is rape in its nature, right? Rape is violent, rape is forceful. And when we're talking about converting somebody, right, you want to show a side that is more compassionate, that has more love in it. And that's why I was saying it doesn't make sense for somebody to rape a woman and expect her to appreciate heterosexual relationships, because that rape will only inform that person that heterosexuality means violence and means rape. So I don't think that it's a control measure in any way. That's why I said it's actually a problem to put corrective or curative before rape, because there's nothing curative about it. It is rape.
And you said it's not known how many people have been affected or how widespread, you know, this is. Is it because people are still scared to speak publicly about these attacks because of the stigma?
Most definitely. It's not the most easiest thing to talk about. For example, we can talk about the remarks that have been made by the PM or the remarks that have been made by President Mugabe. And that means you're already creating an environment of intolerance, an environment of discrimination. And so for someone to talk about the rape that they've experienced, firstly, you're talking about being raped. And rape in itself is something that has silenced quite a lot of women and a lot of men, for that matter. And then you get into the issue of heterosexuality and homosexuality, where homosexuality is called abhorrent in Zimbabwe. So talking about those two things, coming out about them or even reporting them is not the easiest of things to do in an environment that is not permitting.
So why haven't you, as GALS, released a report about this?
You see, what we do is, as an organization, is that we do document information that comes through. What happens a lot of the time is that our information and our documentation goes through to the member organizations, member human rights organizations that we work with, for example, the Human Rights Forum. And so that's as far as our reports go. But we haven't really gotten into how we can use the information that we get from the reports that are made by people to carry out, for example, advocacy strategies, which is something that would be very important. And if we as an organization are unable to take that information out, then that means that a lot more people will be silent on what they experience.
And, of course, you mentioned the principles in the inclusive government, Robert Mugabe and Morgan Tsvangirai, and we all know how Mugabe feels about the issue of homosexuality, but this was the first time that Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai publicly condemned the practice of homosexuality. Why do you think the Prime Minister has chosen to agree with Mugabe on this particular issue?
I unfortunately cannot speculate on the reasons why. What I know is that we're seeking clarity from the PM as to that position, and we've written a letter to the PM's office, and we await a response to just clarify his position. But there was a report that was sent out, a newsletter that was sent out by MBC, where the spokesperson, Mr. Nadidadi, was saying that the statements made by the PM were his personal opinions and not the position of MBC. And what I would think about in a statement like that is, you would think about a lot of things. MDC is a movement that stands for democracy and human rights, right? And as the leader of the MDC, in as much as we believe that everyone has their right to opinion, but as a leader of any political movement, if you take a position or if you say what your position is or what you feel about a certain topic, it is likely to be construed to be part of your party's politics as well. And it influences how people think about a certain topic. And what this statement has done, we hope it hasn't, is unified ZANU-PF and MDC on how they respond to human rights issues and how minority issues aren't being taken very seriously in Zimbabwe.
What about the fact that the president himself said that he would not allow any gay rights to find their way into the new constitution? What are your thoughts on this?
Those are individual positions. I think when it comes to the constitution, as has been said about the constitution, it is a people-driven process. We will wait to see what the people of Zimbabwe decide. If at that stage they decide that gay rights will not be included in the constitution, then that means that as girls we have a lot more work to do, but we still feel that we will carry on with all our advocacy strategies.
What sort of things do you think you need to do? Because this remains, you know, a sensitive issue, not only in Zimbabwe, but in many parts of Africa.
Well, definitely there's a lot of awareness raising that needs to be done, because most people believe that homosexuality is a sin, and I can't really go into that because the religious debate is one that's very difficult. There's the religious debate, there's the cultural and traditional debate, and there's the fact that people think that homosexuality is a Western import. And as far as I know, and in as far as I have read, there's information that dates back into pre-colonial Africa where cases of homosexuality have been reported. And it was not anything that was abhorrent at that time. It was something that then became illegal after colonialists settled into Africa. So it's difficult for us to try and understand why it is then thought of as a Western import when it quite honestly isn't. It's a human occurrence, it's natural, although it's thought of as being unnatural. And then there's the debate that goes into homosexuality and pedophilia and bestiality. And by allowing homosexuality, it means that we can then allow murderers and whoever to be free in our states. That is something that's very different. I think people don't understand that homosexual acts are acts that happen between two people, two consenting adults over the age of 18. It's not between a minor and an older person where there are power dynamics that are at play. No abuse of power, authority, or anything like that. And that's what people tend to think. And I guess it's the whole uninformed or ill-informed position that people speak from.
Right. And
we do have a lot of work in terms of raising the awareness of people that we live in, the societies that we live in.
Fadzai Muparutsa will share more about the mission Gays and Lesbians of Zimbabwe has taken on when her conversation with Violet Gonda continues.
I think the only challenges that come into the work that we do is the statements that are made by people who are in positions of leadership. Those homophobic statements by state leaders are what I think will be a challenge to us.
Can the queer activists of Zimbabwe beat the odds? Gals marches on. Next time on This Way Out. Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Tanya Kane Perry, John Torres, Daryl Stevens, and Violet Gonda contributed program material. Special thanks also to Frida Worden. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is supported by a grant from the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation and by our listeners. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org to see how you can support our work. listen to our podcasts, read the text of this week's news wrap, or subscribe to CDs of our programs. Check out our fan page at facebook.com/thiswayoutradio to receive our weekly program content email alert. Email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on WYEP, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, CJMP, Powell River, British Columbia, KRCC, Colorado Springs, Colorado, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.
Now, as a premiere, we will have Willie Mem Kunstler. Yes, the real Willie Mem Kunstler appear and talk about his life. Our dad, of course. Here he comes right now. Yay!
We'll talk about your life, Dad.
All I want to say is all power to the people. Right on, do it. The only thing that is going to move this country is you. We must act now. This is a call to national action.
And you are listening to Queer Voices, and we're in a very special time here at the station.
We're in fundraising mode.
And what does that mean? You know, we have this 100,000-watt station antenna.
Mega station.
So it goes over, and you know what? That's power. It
goes all the way to Conroe.
It doesn't, and that doesn't come cheap.
No, it doesn't.
And, you know, we do not have commercials. If you listen to KPFT on a regular basis, we are not plugging Joe's whatever. We are a nonprofit station, and we need you to fund us and, you know, keep us on the air.
Well, we're a community supported station, and what that means is that it's your contributions, your pledges that keep us on the air. And it's important for all of us to have this venue to hear what's really going on. Too many times you listen to some of those other stations and you hear only one point of view. On KPFT, you hear all points of view. You hear those, which is why we got bombed off the air 40 years ago.
Yeah, some people don't like the things that are coming on the radio, so they react and they act out in anger. But, you know, we offer a very open-minded source of entertainment and shows on KPFT.
What's important is your support of this station and our show specifically, and you need to call 713-526-5738. It's important for you, too. What would be the terrible, to tune in to KPFT, and we wouldn't be there?
Well, you know, back in the day, we had a weekly newspaper where, you know, you would look at it and you say, oh, that's what's going on. You would find out your information, but we don't have that anymore. We're kind of more of a audio newspaper, I guess, these days.
We are, and Queer Voices is that source for, especially for the GLBT community. When there's an event going on, we try to get someone on to interview, to talk about it, just as we did with the HRC Gala. And if we can't get anyone, we still announce it on the program, telling these are the events this week. And it's important for all of us. And where else do you get that information? Unless you're sitting at your computer hunting around or whatever, you don't get the information. Only through this station and Queer Voices do you get that.
Now, how can you support our program and our station? You can call 713-526-KPFT or 713-526-5738. And if you're not near a phone or you're at your computer and you're online, kpft.org, you can do it very conveniently and just make a one-time donation or a recurring donation. We would love that to keep us going. That's what keeps our station and our program on. And by donating, you show that not only do you support the station, but you support gay GLBT radio here with community news and information.
And, you know, we have some special offers here and there for people to donate. Now, if you decide to donate, and I mentioned this earlier, $365.
Wait, okay, I'm doing my math.
This is Aggie math here. 365 is equal to what?
That is a dollar a day.
A dollar a day. You can get tickets to the Shenyun Performing Arts at the Wortham Center. It's July 2nd or the 3rd. You'll get tickets for. Plus, you get to go to the reception after the show.
And I'm sure there'll be all kinds of fabulous costumes, and everything will be culturally diverse, like our radio station.
Well, and the thing is that if you don't want to do something like that, you can simply donate whatever amount you find that you're available to, and you can put it on a credit card if you want to.
Easy payments, right to kpft.org.
That's right. Or call us at 713-526-5738. It's important for you. It's important for us. It's important for all those other programs that we haven't, that we're not supporting here. And we've got a caller from Navasota. And want to thank you for listening.
That's the power of the...
I said we only went to Conroe. It goes further than that.
100,000 watts. You know, they could be online. And those people are listening. So help us get the message out. The beacon of hope for our community. Queer Voices, 713-526-KPFT.
This is J.D. Doyle, producer of Queer Music Heritage and Out Radio. And I want to tell you about the appearance in Houston of an artist I really admire. Now, we don't get too many openly gay male artists coming through town, so I don't want you to miss knowing about this one. He's Tom Goss, and I want you to hear one of his songs, and afterwards I'll tell you where he's playing. As an intro, I've got a short interview quote from him about his new EP and the song you'll hear.
Well, the EP is a political EP all about marriage equality. I've been putting together marriage equality songs for the past couple years, but I haven't released them on an album. People kept asking me to put these songs out, so I decided to put together an EP. I wrote a final song for it, and a piano ballad about marriage equality in general. The EP is called Apostle for Love.
You don't question love, you let it be. You don't give the right to some, then take that right from me. If it's family you want, then welcome to my home. Love is something my family owns. You don't tell a child you can't be raised here, and I can see their eyes and in them questioning and fear. 'Cause a family, they know, is one that takes you home, loves you more than you'll ever know. Take it fast now, or take it slow. Your deepest breath, you know, deserves one more. 'Cause I'll never kiss the face of a more beautiful soul. You don't question love, you set it free. Let it grow to something everyone can see. And if you look into your eyes, you will see your love in mine. And you will bless it, and you will bless it, and you will bless it. No, you don't question love.
That was Tom Goss and You Don't Question Love. And this year he was voted by the Stonewall Society as the favorite gay male artist. And I was monitoring that voting. The competition was stiff. You can find out more about him and his tour at TomGossMusic.com. The name of the club he'll be playing at, along with another artist named Jeremiah Clark, is Natsuo. Okay, I can't pronounce it either, but it's Houston spelled backwards. And it's at 314 Main Street, downtown, this Thursday, May 20th at 8 p.m. Thanks.
It's all quiet. The phones aren't ringing. You need to be dialing up 713-526-5738.
Make those phones ring. We have people outside waiting for you to call us.
They volunteered to come up here to answer the phones for you. So please, we have one standing at the door begging.
He is bored, and we need to put him to work.
He's not bored. He's just anxious.
He's anxious. He's just waiting for you to call. You out there listening, you're thinking, should I donate or should I not? Tonight is the night. We need you to call. It's not too late. We have somebody. We're waiting on you. 713-526-KPFT. And that is 713-526-5738. Now, we got a report that we had a caller in Navasota. So that's a pretty long distance away.
Well,
so.
I made that off-the-handle comment about it. We go as far as Conroe, and he wanted to inform us. Thank you very much for calling and informing us. You can hear us up in Navasota.
So that's a large area. So if you're out there, call in and just say hello. Give us just your coffee money for a week.
You know, with the Internet, we have people probably listening all over the world. And it's a really neat thing that you can be able to listen to KPFT, or you may be listening tomorrow on iTunes or some other MP3 type player, because our program can be downloadable and you can listen to it at your leisure if this is not a good time for you. So if you're listening in the future, you can still donate at kpft.org. If you're listening in the past, you can still donate at kpft.org. We're really asking you to step up, because the radio station here runs on a very, very slim budget, as you might expect. The equipment here is not the, of course, the operator is not the best either.
It's the state of the art for World War II.
Well, you know, actually, no.
I think we're up to the Korean War.
You know, we've got rid of all of our analog stuff, our reel-to-reel tape recorders and stuff like that.
And all the tubes.
And yes, well, there's actually still a tube at the transmitter.
Ah, okay.
The big tube up there. But actually, we do have a lot of neat equipment that we can do things with and be able to produce decent programming with. And, you know, we don't have the squeals and, you know, stuff that used to happen in the old days. We don't go off the air like we used to in the old days. We haven't been bombed off the air in 40 years.
Jack, so.
You know, it's all part of you being part of this station, being part of the family here. Sometimes dysfunctional, but we are a family. We don't always all get along with all the different programmers, but together, we have a very unique product here of radio that's done by people of the communities.
And we need you to show us that you care and you're listening to our show and you support gay radio in Houston. I mean, we could easily not be here, and then where would you get your news and your information?
Well, with all the other stations putting out all of their stuff, if you will, We're the one program here at Queer Voices that talks to our community, talks to the GLBT community, and talks to them, giving them the information. We have people on of interest, like Stephen Kleinberg. Oh. Now, where else would you? Dr. Kleinberg gave us information about our area, Harris County, that we did not know about, unless you had already heard about it and read about it somewhere.
But we got kind of a GLBT perspective on how our area and county is changing through the last couple of years. And where else would you hear that? Only on Queer Voices.
Exactly. And too, you heard about the HRC Gala coming up this Saturday. And in weeks past, we've talked about other events. You may or may not have known about it if you hadn't heard it here on Queer Voices on KPFT. KPFT's where we exist.
You know, and we're not motivated by some commercial entity that is out there pushing a message. We are motivated by getting the word out to our community and getting news and issues that are relevant to you. So we need you to support us in our mission to educate and get the word out to our community.
713-526-5738. Many people may not know that we're all volunteers up here.
Wait, you didn't get your last paycheck?
Yeah, I've been here almost 4 years and I haven't got one yet. It's amazing.
I haven't either. So we're here out of, you know, the desire to get the word out and to
we want to support our community.
We are hot off the press. We are getting word of a donation.
From Austin, Texas. Oh, my gosh. Well, maybe we go a lot further than that.
I think that might be on the internet.
No. And it's from Summer.
Oh.
Up in Austin.
Lovely Summer, who's helping us out from afar, and she's tuning in. Thank you, Summer. Your support is very much appreciated.
Thank you very much. That's sweet, and thank you for listening.
Very good. Now, if you're in Austin or if you're some other far-reaching place, you can listen on the internet at kpft.org.
And if you're in the Czech Republic...
You know, I was in Southeast Asia, and I turned into kpft.org, and it worked over there. I was listening to the show. So it was 13 hours ahead, of course, so it was kind of like the next day, but I was still listening to the show.
Well, and that's something. If you're out there on the computer or you're thinking about us and you've got a computer handy, you can go to kpft.org and pledge there. You don't have to be calling in if you don't need to, but we'd still like to hear from you.
You know, and if you're on iTunes, you get the podcast, you can do a subscription. So it automatically downloads every week the newest show. So you're constantly up to date with all the things that are going on in our community. But, you know, this has a cost. And this is the cost. We don't do this all year long. We only do this certain times of the year. And this is the time that we need your support. If you're out there and you're listening and support us, please show us now. We need your support. KPFT.org or 713-526-5738.
Takes all night. Takes all night. Takes all night. Wide north, I think.
takes all night.
All right, 713-526-5738. That's the number to call. You need to call now. Don't waste any time. You've listened to the show. Hey, we presented the show. Now it's time to pay.
Put up or shut up.
We had an anonymous donation that just came in that said, you know, get out here and contribute.
Yes, and I think they mentioned you specifically.
Well, it probably wasn't very nice.
I'm sure that they love your radio persona and the value that you add to the show and to the radio station. And you've done this for 4 years and kind of in the quiet doing this, volunteering your time.
Well, I enjoy it. It was an opportunity to intern for the show, and then I got to come on the air and do a few interviews, and I've just been doing it. I just love it. And I always like to remember that as long as I'm here, the T is no longer silent.
You are the T in the GOBT. You're kind of pushing the frontier, the boundary. But I'm here for the G, and the G is here too. And
that's right.
If you're out there, a G, a T, or an L, or a
or B. Or a B.
We have the B's. We need you to call
in. Or a Q, or a F, or an A.
Oh, there's so many letters.
I know.
But you know what? We represent them all.
That's there is something that I read today that somebody's actually starting a Facebook page in Dallas to try to get Laura Bush in the Dallas GLBT Pride Parade. Can you believe those Dallas queens? I mean, after 8 years in office of doing everything they could, not only to this community, but to every progressive community, that all of a sudden that she comes out in support of gay marriage after they're out of office, that they would forgive them for all they've done. And you know, try to start a momentum of getting them in the parade, getting her in the parade.
I'm not going to comment on
this
because I have my own opinions that are not necessarily the opinions of.
Well, she may be trying to send us a message if she were to get in there that maybe there was more going on.
I think she's trying to sell books.
Probably so. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to get you to pledge to our show, to KPFT, 713-526-5738. Please, take a few moments. Take the time to pledge. Give us a few dollars. That's all that matters. Every little bit helps to support and promote KPFT and all our program as well as all the other programs.
You still have time to call.
And we've had calls in from Navasota and Austin. So what about you here in Houston?
What about Houston, right?
We need Montrose. You, the Houston population, the GLBT community in Houston. We need you to call in. I mean, we are here, we're queer, and we're in your neighborhood, and we're doing the news and everything every week, every Monday night, right here in the middle of Montrose. We need you to show us support.
We're here for them. That's what we do. We volunteer for you guys, and it's now your turn to show how much you support us.
Show us some love. We love doing the show, but, you know, show us that you love us. I know that you do. 713-526-5738.
Many of you, we had a great show tonight. We've had great shows in the past. We announce events coming up. If you've got an event and you need a little bit of notification on it, you know, let us know about it. And many of you do, and we put it on the air to let people know what's going on in our community on every Monday. And where would we be without that? You know, we just don't have it. It's important to support queer voices.
You know, and we're kind of technologically savvy here. We have a Facebook group and fan page. And so if you're on Facebook, please do a search on Queer Voices. And that's where you will find out information every week posted about what's coming on. And if you have ideas for a show or something that you want to promote for the community, we are gay radio for you, by you, made to get the word out. So get in touch with us that way.
713-526-5738. That's the number to call. There's still time to call in and pledge tonight for this show and to support KPFT and all the other programming on KPFT. 713-526-5738.
And if you're online, I know I'm always online, and I'd rather do things like on kpft.org website. It's so easy and convenient, and that's the way it is these days.
Queer Voices, heard each Monday at 8 p.m. here on KPFT, a publicly funded Pacifica Network station. Queer Voices is produced live in Houston with recorded segments from This Way Out, which is produced at KPFK in Los Angeles. Queer Voices executive producer is Jack Valensky. On Air Voices are Glenn Holt, J.D. Doyle, Deborah Bell, Jennifer Renee, Greg Chapman, and Jack Valensky. Be sure to listen every Saturday night, Sunday morning at 1 a.m. for After Hours with Jimmy Carper. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. This is listener-sponsored and commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT, at 90.1 FM, 89.5 FM Galveston, and worldwide via streaming audio from kpft.org. For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
Children at Risk is a Houston-based organization fighting human trafficking. Human trafficking is a horrible crime affecting thousands of people, especially children and young women, and Houston is an international hub. The victims are beaten, drugged, and raped into submission before entering a life of forced labor and sexual exploitation. Few people are aware of this problem. It is difficult to recognize, even by trained professionals. If you suspect that someone is a victim of human trafficking, please call the National Human Trafficking Rescue Hotline at 888-3737-888. Every single day, the staff and volunteers of Children at Risk work to abolish this form of modern-day slavery. We are proud to say that our legislation protecting trafficking victims has passed the Texas legislature with bipartisan support. You can save the life of a child right now by making a donation to KPFT's Kid Pool. For every $500 collected in the Kid Pool, the Embry Family Foundation of Dallas will donate another $500 directly to Children at Risk to continue the momentum towards human trafficking reform. Please consider making a Kid Pool donation to KPFT. You can make a difference today. For more information on human trafficking in Texas and our successful legislative efforts on behalf of its victims, please visit childrenatrisk.org. Together, we can save a life today.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.